The time is 2:12 PM. We're back on the record for the formal hearing continuation of OPAPA 16-007 and 16-011.
So, Mr. Romero, how do you feel? Do you feel any better from this morning?
I'm trying to hang in there.
Can I hang in there? Can you make it for this afternoon? Or?
I'll try.
All right. And at any time, just tell me if you're having an overly rough time.
Okay. Thanks.
You have water. So, just to remind you, you're also under oath. Where we left off, we were in Ms. Tang's case in chief, and she was talking about Exhibit 1. Your witness, Ms. Tang.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Mr. Camacho, their witness is still in the room.
Okay, apologize before we go. Mr. Fernandez, I know you're coming back, but I don't think, how long do you think your direct is going to take? Is it still 2 hours?
I think we, yeah, yes.
Okay, so Mr. Fernandez, I don't think we're going to have your testimony today. But I think, is it reasonable to think Mr. Inman's testimony will take most of tomorrow?
Oh, you're speaking to me?
Yes. Just generally, I think
we're
talked
assuming,
about
we're half a day. Starting in the morning, right? So
okay.
I would say anywhere between an hour and a half to two. I mean, the pacing is an issue.
At least half a day. All right.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Fernandez, tomorrow at 2 o'clock, I'm going to release you till tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So, if you can please come to the DISID conference room on the 6th floor.
Yeah. I just need to inform you that I have a very important 5:30 meeting tomorrow, but I don't know how long it's going to go.
I understand. Well, we will try to, we will be done by 5 tomorrow. That is a given, so I hope. We'll make sure that you're out in sufficient time to have that meeting should you testify. All right? Thank you for coming. Are there any other?
In the event we can call you earlier, do we have a cell phone number that we can reach you at?
If you can, I'll provide that to the OPA staff, and that way.
In the event that we could call you earlier.
Are there any other witnesses here? No. So, Ms. Tang, your witness.
Can we just update you on communications with Mr. Fisher?
Sure.
Yeah, I spoke with Mr. Fisher during lunch. He has informed me that both Mr. Calvo and Ms. Tyron are on island, and they don't have any other travel plans, so they'll be available when we're ready to call them.
All right, so hopefully tomorrow we can do all of them, plus Mr. Fernandez and Mr. Inman. Crossing my fingers for the record. All right, we'll see. I know we have Mr. Inman, and that'll be the priority witness for tomorrow. Okay, any other matters? None? Okay, Ms. Tang, your witness.
Thank you. Mr. Romero, before we broke, I was trying to find a particular page, and I located it, so I'm going to take you through that page. It is Exhibit 2, page 45. I'm sorry, it's Exhibit 1, page 45. You ready there?
Oh.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mr., if you could answer yes or no.
Sorry. Yes.
All right. This is a document, a portion of RFP entitled Simon Sanchez High School Requirements. And it sets forth what has been often referred to in this RFP as design parameters. Is that correct?
Yes.
And at least for this RFP, it is 3 pages, page 45 to 47, correct?
Yes.
All right. And this was the basis upon which various proposers or offerers base their proposals, their cost estimates, correct?
Yes, yes.
Yes, okay. And...
Is this the amended?
No, I will take you to that.
Okay.
This is the original RFP, yeah.
Okay.
So, who developed the Simon Sanchez High School requirement?
The Simon Sanchez principal and her department chairs and myself.
Okay.
Myself collecting the data from them.
Who drafted it?
It would be the principal of Simon Sanchez.
Her name is Carla?
Carla.
Is that Carla?
Ms. Nyan.
I forget her last name.
Ms. Nyan?
Masanayan. All right. And you have, I believe, 15 years of experience in capital improvement projects for schools.
Yes.
And this is not just limited procurement, but are you familiar with design aspects of capital improvements as well for schools?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little more about your experience and your background in this area?
Well, I did handle a little over $40 billion worth of ARRA projects.
Mm-hmm.
From roof repairs to fire alarm installations to renovations, major renovations of Altamont Middle School, Southern High Fine Arts Auditorium, the Southern High Gymnasium, and a lot of smaller capital improvement projects here and there.
Right, so the ARRA funds are the funds from the federal government?
Yes.
And the funds are for dedicated to school improvements?
Yes.
And these were GovGuam contracts?
Yes.
DOE contracts specifically?
Yes.
Not through DPW?
No.
And these were they RFP, IFB, IT, ITB? How were they procured?
It's a combination of IFBs and a multi-step.
I see. All right. So none of them are RFPs?
No.
But in terms of project, I think you said it was $40 million?
Yes.
Okay. And just to get an gauge of the size of these projects, the budget, what was your largest project value?
Largest...
Approximately?
Well, if you're looking at a single item, for example, like fire alarms, we did that island-wide.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about approximately about $8
million. Okay. And then there were other...
Yes.
Smaller procurements.
Well, all of them are actually pretty large.
Okay, how about a construction of like a Teton DOE headquarters? That's a building, right?
Yes.
And that was also funded with our office?
No.
Oh, no, it wasn't?
No.
Okay. Did you do the
procurement
for it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you did? Okay. In terms of the procurement, would you say you're probably one of the most experienced in DOE?
When it comes to CIPs, yes.
Okay. Just to be clear, CIP stands for?
Capital Improvement Projects, yes.
Right. And do you have any staff working under you?
Yes, I do.
All right. And how many?
I have three.
Are they assistants? Are they technical people?
Combination of both.
What do they do? What are they titled?
They're program coordinators also.
I see.
Yeah.
And do you have any of them with engineering background?
Yes.
Who is it?
Rod Triad.
And Rod?
Rod.
Rod Triad?
Triad.
And what is his area of expertise?
Mechanical, I believe.
I see. How about your other two assistants?
No.
All right. And so you work as a team?
Yes.
All right. And do you believe or do you feel that your team is a knowledgeable and experienced team in procurement of capital improvement projects?
Well, I handle that aspect. My staff handles all the site assessments, evaluation of the site.
Right.
And I combine everything into whatever procurement method we seem fit.
All right. And so you've, for purposes of, for instance, in this case, Simon Sanchez High School, the high school requirements, You are, which later were expanded in the addendum, and we'll get to that. But those were design parameters were matters that you felt that DOE, your department, you and your department were able to handle, of course, working with the in your case, the end users, the principal, right?
Yes.
And had you needed support, consultant, advice, you would have sought it?
Yes, of course.
All right. Did you feel that in this procurement you needed a proposer to educate you in your business?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Let's go to Exhibit 2, Cortec Exhibit 2. And I'm going to direct you to Addendum 6, which is on CT2. It actually starts on page 6, but that's just the cover sheet. So so we're on page CT2-7?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is Addendum 6, Exhibit 2. Right. So this is the addendum that makes a significant modification to the RFP and also includes an RFI, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And did you participate in preparing this addendum, Addendum 2?
Let me see the contents. I did participate in some, but not most.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So pages CT2-7 through I'm going past through before the RFI. All right. So the addendum. Who was involved, and this is through CT2-27. So from page 7 to 27. Addendum 6.
The collateral equipment listing. This is the school who prepared this.
Let me just be specific. So let's focus on exhibit page 7. Exhibit 2, page 7. So you start with modifications to the RFP, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it pretty much then you get into collateral exhibit A, but to 15. 7 to 15. Who prepared this portion of the addendum?
That would be Public Works.
Okay, who at Public Works would have prepared this? Do you know?
I believe it would be the Ray and John.
And so they basically made modifications.
Excuse me, Mr. Ray and John.
Ray Junio and John Calanaya.
Thank you. Please proceed. Okay.
Do you know why these changes were made? I guess what prompted these changes? And again, I'm referring to page 7.
I believe it was because of some clarifications to the RFIs.
Okay, so certain questions were posed in the proposer's RFI.
Yes.
And then you think that that's what triggered, or that resulted in the changes to the RFP.
For some, yeah.
For some.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's for all.
For all, okay.
Yeah.
And for others, if you know, what triggered or what brought about those changes to the RFP?
I guess just corrections in some of the languages and defining further items within this section.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can you tell me what your involvement was in connection with the revisions in pages 7 to 15?
Well, I noticed that if you notice from the initial, this one here is a little more defined.
I'm just focusing on page 7 to 15.
Well, 7 to 15.
Portion. Yeah, we'll deal with this.
Oh, okay.
Exhibit A.
Now, what was the question again?
What was your involvement in the work or the changes that were are referenced in pages 7 to 15 of Exhibit 2?
I would say organizing the document.
Okay.
Yeah, assisting them in organizing the document.
Okay, and so maybe I'll take you through it and then we can talk about it. So let's look at Exhibit 2, but page 7.
Mm-hmm.
Directing your attention to page two, section 2.0, intent, and the last paragraph. It says here, once a firm is selected, a scope of work and fee estimate will be negotiated to perform the required services for Sanchez High School. A task order will be developed and executed for the remaining 35 schools based on priority list and needs of GDOE after the completion of the comprehensive capital improvement plan.
Okay, Ms. Tang, you don't need to read the whole paragraph. Let's proceed.
So, Mr. Romero, this section and the same section, a similar section is language appears in section 2.1.1, which is the third paragraph, and talks about the remaining 35 school. These task orders, so Simon Sanchez would be the estimate that's proposed in the proposal,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That's submitted by proposer.
Yes.
And then based on the intent in this section, 2.0 and 2.1, they would enter an idea, they would enter into a contract, IDIQ contract, for Simon Sanchez and then issue task orders for the remaining 35 schools? Is
yes.
that what this is?
Yes.
Is your understanding?
Yes.
Next page, CT2-8, 4.0, first paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an understanding that the cap on this budget, this project, is $100 million?
Yes.
And so if someone, a proposer, submitted a proposal for $101 million, that would be non-responsive? Is that your understanding?
Yes.
Now, the first sentence of 4.0, paragraph 1, it says, the scope of work includes financing, leasing,
mm-hmm.
rehabilitation, construction, expansion, renovation. So it's also inclusive of architectural engineering design. So does that mean that in their proposal, the architectural engineering design fee must be included in that number?
Yes.
And if it's not included, it's not responsive?
I would believe so.
For the proposal, for the we'll call it the proposal that's submitted for the by offerors, they are required to give a cost estimate that has a breakdown of the construction costs, correct?
Yes.
Like actual costs.
Yes.
So you have the vertical aspect of it, and then you have different aspect of it, and then you have all the breakdown for the soft costs, you have hard costs and soft costs,
yes.
right?
Yes.
These are actual numbers.
Yes.
Now, the RFP contemplates that the task orders, subsequent task orders, if there's any money left over, whatever's left over for the other schools, that would be based on ours means, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And that's a way of calculating
construction costs, yes.
That's tied to, for lack of a better word, market cost, construction cost.
Yes.
And so if you submit a proposal that does not have, if a proposer submits a proposal that did not have actual cost as opposed to, and follow the RS means, that would not be compliant and would be non-responsive, correct?
Correct.
Let's go to Exhibit A, which is CT2-16. Mr. Romero, if you want to take
what page again? I'm sorry.
2-16, Exhibit 2, page 16. If you need a break or, or a drink,
I'm fine.
Just let me know.
All right. Thank you.
So this is Exhibit A, and it's now, this replaces what we were discussing, what we called earlier, and I'll just refer you to it, make sure we're talking about the same thing, on page 1, Exhibit 1, page 45, which were the Salmon Sanchez High School of Requirements, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Exhibit A in CT2-16, starting on page 16, replaces what were you previously called Salmon Sanchez High School Requirements. Who decided to change name to consideration?
Well, to be honest with you, that's just how it was submitted.
Who submitted it?
The school.
Which school?
Simon Sanchez.
Okay. The
the principal.
Principal.
Yes.
I see. And but when you prepared the RFP, that's referring to Exhibit 1, page 45, you put Simon Sanchez High School requirement.
Yes.
Okay. So, was the intent to treat this as a design parameter, much like the way it appeared in the original RFP, page 1, starting with CT 1, page 45?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes.
Except the new exhibit, I'll just call it Exhibit A, Addendum 6 Exhibit A. All right. A lot more detail. And it goes on, starts on page 16 to page 27, right?
Yes.
All right. And this gave the proposers a lot more information on which to set their bid, price their bids.
Yes.
Not bids, price their proposals.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to page 17 of Exhibit 2. It says total number of classrooms will be 121. So when a proposer submitted a proposal, they had to have a construction price for 121 classrooms.
Yes.
And if they didn't have 121 classrooms, it would be non-responsive.
Yes.
And also, on the same page, on the bottom of the page, it says auditorium 750 capacity for performing arts choir band. Is that a requirement as well? 750 capacity?
Yes.
All right. And if they did not submit a proposal that met the 750 auditorium requirement, it would be not responsive?
I believe so.
Going to attachment A, which appears on page 24, the beginning of the description of collateral equipment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had to provide a price for the collateral equipment listed here, correct?
Correct.
All right. Now we're at page 28. This is the RFI. The RFI contains questions and responses from the proposers, questions from proposers, responses from the agencies, and I know it's a collaboration, so we'll get into that. Correct?
Correct.
All right, mm-hmm. And this, we have three proposers, so we have there are three proposers, GFF, Fortech, and Pernex.
Yes.
All right. Now I'm looking at Exhibit 2, page 28. Why was GEDF, who's Guam Educational Development Foundation? Why were they allowed to submit questions? Do you know?
What are you referring to?
On the top of page
28. I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Who are they?
GEFF.
Okay. So you think it's a typo?
I don't know.
Or is it GEDP?
I can't answer that. Okay. All I know them as is GEFF.
All right. Do you recall when the questions came in, whether it was from GEDP? You know who that is?
No, I don't.
GEDP, Guam Educational Development.
Foundation.
GED Partners, right?
Yeah.
You don't know who they are?
No.
It says Foundation.
No, I'm actually, if you know it's GEDP. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you withdraw your objection? Yes. Okay, yeah. Please proceed.
Do you know who GEDP is?
Well, I know them as GEF, yeah.
You know GEFF?
Yes, GEFF. I know GEFF.
And they call it GEF.
GEF.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so let's go through the questions. So who prepared the responses to the R5?
This will be Public Works.
All right, did you collaborate with Public Works?
Only on areas that dealt with the schools, if anything that...
The design parameters?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did GEDA participate?
I believe they did.
Okay. So, if you don't mind, so I'll go through this, I'll look at the areas that I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
The areas that DOE.
Ms. Dane, before you proceed, I just have a question. I was going to address it to Mr. Agadine, Ms. Dane. Is that a typo, or did Guam Education Development Foundation, is that some entity that picked up a packet, perhaps? Do you know? Was that your client's RFI? Trying to clear up the record, that's all.
We believe it must be a typo. We can find out, but we think it's a typo.
You think it's a typo?
DPW is the one that prepared this.
So you're going to give me a definitive answer? Okay. Please let me know by tomorrow morning, if possible.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Romero, I'm going to take you through the RFIs, I think the sections that pertain to DOE. Which may or may not, but if you happen to know. I'd like you to go to CT2, page 33.
I'm sorry, Ms. Chang, what page?
Page 33, Exhibit 2.
Okay.
the 10-year experience requirement of the offeror or proposer. And based on your involvement in this RFP, is it your understanding that the offeror had to meet the 10-year requirement, experience requirement?
That's my understanding.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
And that are you aware of GEEF meets a 10-year requirement?
I object to this line of questioning. What relevance does it have to Cortex grounds and its notice of appeal?
I'm getting
the objection to relevance. What's your offer?
I'm tying it. It's just some preliminary question to getting into GDP and asking if he knows about that. That ties to the bond issue.
Why don't you just
because
ask
it's all related.
Okay, Mr. Agnew, let's not shout at the other council. Okay.
I'm just asking her.
I know, but that's okay. I'm gonna allow a little bit more,
yes,
but we are kind of getting into the weeds with that, so and outside the scope of the issues. But you can ask a couple more.
All right, thank you.
I'll go over the objection.
Mr. Romero, so are you aware if GDP? Are you familiar with a company named GEDP?
No, I'm not.
Okay. But you are familiar with the name GEEF, GEFF?
Yes. Yes, I am.
And is it your understanding do they meet the 10-year experience requirement?
Quite honestly, I can't say because I was not part of the evaluation.
Okay.
I had to excuse myself from the evaluation.
May I ask why?
Because I've been tasked by the department to be the liaison between all the Lee schools and DOE. So I communicate directly with, fortunately, both companies. So I had to excuse myself from that part to avoid any signs of impropriety.
I see.
So I did not really get into the details of, you know, their offer.
So you're not familiar with a company named GEDP?
No, I'm not.
All right. Let's go to page 34. The second question under question number 15. So there's a requirement that the school support a school population of 2,300, correct?
Yes.
All right, and you reference here, the answer references amendment number 6 that replaces pages 45 to 47 with an attached label Exhibit A, correct?
Yes.
And that is the, we'll call it this Exhibit A that's in the addendum 6, Exhibit 2.
Yes.
Right. All right, so this was a requirement of the design.
Yes.
And that a proposal that did not meet this 2,300 student population requirement was non-responsive?
Right.
Just speak a little louder, please.
Okay, let's go to to page 39. Question number 23. The question is how many science classrooms need to be laboratories. There's specific reference to, again, Exhibit A of Addendum 6, correct?
Correct.
And these are requirements?
Yes.
And if they're not met, it's not responsive?
Correct.
Let's go to 24. And question number 24 says, are gyms and auditorium included part of the total number of classrooms? And how many classrooms are these large spaces considered? Of course, it directs you to Exhibit A again.
Yes.
Okay. Number 25, there's a requirement for ESL and SPED classroom. Is ESL English as a second language?
Correct.
And then I'm not sure what SPED is.
Special education.
Okay, special ed classroom. And these are, again, there's a reference to Amendment 6, Exhibit A, and Addendum 6, right?
Yes.
These are requirements?
Yes.
And if they don't comply, it's not responsive?
Right.
We recall that there is a requirement of a, for lack of a better word, back access road?
Yes.
All right. And that, that's a requirement in the addendum to the RFP, right?
Correct.
And if that was not included in your proposal, it is also non-responsive?
Correct.
The payment, there are two bonds referenced in the RFP. There's the bid bond. You're familiar with that?
Yes, sir.
The bid bond requires you to submit a bond for 15%, equal to 15% of $100 million.
Correct.
And not, not the amount of your bid. So it's got to be $100 million, so for $15
million. Yes.
And are you aware if all proposers submitted the requisite bid bond?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Who would know that?
That would be Public Works.
Anyone else?
I guess the evaluation committee.
All right.
Yeah.
On the performance and payment bond, is it your understanding that the offeror, in this case, the awardee, the proposed awardee is GEEF?
Mm-hmm.
The offeror is GEEF, the awardee.
Could you answer yes or no?
Sorry. So, okay, with respect to the payment and performance bond, the construction payment and performance bond, is it your understanding that under the RFP, it is the offeror or awardee, this is GEEF, right?
Yes.
Would have to provide it, or its contractor, correct?
Yes.
And when it's saying, what is your understanding as to its contractor, construction contractor?
Either or, yeah.
Right, so it's either GEEF or GEEF's contractor, construction contractor.
Yes.
All right. And the reason is it would provide protection under Guam. What is your understanding of the Guam law regarding performance bonds? Performance and payment bonds, excuse me.
It's well, the payment bond is to ensure that your subcontractors are guaranteed what's due them. The performance bond is to protect the government from any damages,
right,
of delay.
So the party that's protected is government of Guam,
yes,
correct? Not not necessarily GEEF or third party. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
And is it your understanding as well that that's, I think, let me just make sure. Now, I'm going to direct you to Exhibit 34, please. I think you...
This one.
The other one.
What page is that?
Exhibit 34. I'm sorry, it's the exhibit.
It's the very last exhibit.
And then we'll get to the page.
In the binder.
For the end, they're lit by tab.
Go all the way to the end.
Almost
for now. Very end.
Okay, so please take a moment to review. It's a communication between you and several other individuals.
I'm sorry, I'm not at that page yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so please take a moment to review. There are a total of four pages. It's a four-page email chain between yourself and Mr. Fernandez and other people, including Vince Leonguero.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Vince Leonguero?
He was the governor's education representative.
Okay, and this is an email dated April 2015, so this is prior to the issuance of the RFP, right?
Yes.
So he was part of the, I guess, RFP development team, would you say?
Yes, of course.
All right. And I'd like to direct you to page 4 of this exhibit, 34. the middle of the page, it references section 4.2.1.7, right? You see that?
Yes.
And it says that this section requires 100% performance of payment bond. And the question is asked, when is the offeror supposed to submit such a bond? Does a date or deadline need to be specified? So this is with respect to the drafting of the RFP.
Yes.
And was this a question? Who posed this question? Do you recall?
Vince Nailgrove.
And who provided the comment and the answer? Was that you?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And your response was the performance of payment bond shall be delivered by the contractor territory at the same time the contract is executed, citing to 2R5104, right?
Right.
And
yes.
That was the understanding and intent of the RFP, correct?
Yes.
The contract you're referring to in this section, is that the IDIQ contract?
I would believe it's the contract as a whole, not only the IDIQ, but also Simon Sanchez.
Okay, let me just show you the contract I'm talking about. Would that be helpful? All right, so let me direct you to exhibit.
Could I ask that the cameraman please set his camera up by the door so as to not block egress and ingress on Davis? Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Romero, I think you might see in the news pages in front of you a document marked as Exhibit 40, and it has the OPA with a caption from the AGs on the cover sheet.
Yes.
Okay. The number 40 should appear in the corner. All right, and I'm taking you to, there's a contract attached, I call this the IDIQ contract. Contractual agreement between DPW, DOE, and GEFF. You see that?
Yes.
All right. And it's 17 pages. Page 17 of Exhibit 40, there are three signatures. You see that?
Yes.
Mr. Beneventi, Mr. Flores, and Mr. Fernandez.
Yes.
All right. And this is the contract that's been referred to, and that email that is in Exhibit 34, page 4.
Yes. The question.
Okay, so I was referring you to Exhibit 34,
yes,
page
yes.
4, question regarding section 4.2.1.7. And then in the comment, the section that you filled in says the contract you refer to 2GAR5104 says the performance and payment bond shall be delivered to the contractor by the contractor to the territory at the time the contract is executed. So my question, follow-up question is with which contract? I refer to Exhibit 40. Contract, am I asking the question, is this the contract?
I don't believe so, because this contract was generated in 16, and this email was on 2015.
I don't quite understand.
This email was issued on 2015, this contract was signed on 2016.
Oh, no. Okay, when I say, when you're citing to
okay, does it apply to this?
Comment, yeah, so maybe I'm confusing you. In Exhibit 34, your response to Section 4.2.1.7.
Ms. Tang, just to save time. Mr. Romero, okay, when you, in Exhibit 34, when you reference a contract What contract are you referring to?
The potential contract coming out of, as a result of this RFP.
Okay, did you ever see that final contract?
No, I haven't.
Okay, please proceed, Ms. Taylor.
All right.
No.
Are you aware that Mr. Fernandez signed a contract at any time in relation to this RFP?
I was aware.
Okay, and how did you become aware of that?
By Public Works.
Who told you?
I believe it was John Caladian.
And did he call you or did he email you?
He called me.
What did he tell you?
He said that the document was signed.
When you say document?
The contract was signed.
All right. Did he, do you recall when this call occurred?
No, I don't.
Was it a couple months ago? I'll tell you, John Fernandez signed on May 26, 2016. Does that sound around the right time frame?
Yes.
All right. Is this the contract that you could be referring to in your comment in Exhibit 34?
It could be. Okay. The result, yes.
Okay. Talk about the evaluation. I think you testified earlier that you were not, or you had recused yourself or excluded yourself from the evaluation process?
Yes.
I object. Again, I would note for the record that CoreTech made a first protest regarding the evaluation. That was denied and it was not appealed. I don't understand how they didn't pursue a line concerning the evaluation.
If I may just...
What's your offer of proof, Ms. Tang?
As you recall, there are a lot of discussions regarding the price just being discussed, and I just want to know if he was aware of that.
Okay, I'm going to allow it. Objection overruled. Please proceed.
All right.
But I do note that he specifically did state,
right,
Ms. Tang, that
he
was not part of the evaluation committee, but
correct.
Please proceed.
Understood. Thank you. Mr. Romero, did you discuss with anyone about what, like Mr. Kalanaya, for instance, or Mr. Junio, what was going on in evaluation while the proposals were being evaluated?
No.
Do you know at that time when the evaluation was taking place whether a price was being discussed?
No.
Did you see any communications at that time during evaluations regarding price?
No.
After evaluation, so just to give you a time frame, the ranking, notice of ranking came out on December 24th, 2015.
Yes.
Okay? So after evaluation, negotiations began, right?
Yes.
So when did your involvement, I guess, continue in the solicitation process after the ranking?
When the negotiation started.
And do you have an approximate time or date for that?
It's January.
Early January?
Early January.
Okay, can you tell me what happened, or was there a meeting? Was there an email that went out and said, hey, let's start negotiations? What started it?
It was just a Public Works calling a meeting to begin negotiations.
Okay, and I'm sorry.
No, that's
okay.
It, sorry.
So, was there was the first meeting, right?
Yes.
Where was it? Do you recall?
Public Works.
All right. Do you recall who was present?
The I believe it was the evaluation committee that was present.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you were appearing on behalf of DOE?
The superintendent was there. I was, I'm on the side.
You're assisting him?
Yeah, taking notes and.
Right. And so, was anyone else taking notes?
I don't recall.
All right. In the notes that you took, did you share them with anybody?
No.
Did you prepare minutes?
No.
Was there a sign-in sheet?
I believe so, there was.
All right. And do you recall how many people were typically in those meetings?
No, I don't.
Okay. 10, 5?
I would say probably less than 10.
All right. So the negotiating team members brought their assistants or those who were working the departments as well?
Yes.
All right. And do you recall if there was a tape recorder? Or not even a tape recorder, any kind of recorder, for that matter?
No, I don't.
Did you tape it?
No.
Are you aware that Mr. Junio taped, I think, 2 of those meetings?
Objection. That's not in the testimony. That's not in the record.
I'm sorry, but I think they submitted a declaration saying he taped it and then he lost it and his phone disappeared.
I don't overrule the objection. She's inquiring as to just his knowledge as to but it goes to the recording of these negotiations. Find them relevant. Please proceed.
Thank you. So, would you like me to re-ask the question?
Please.
All right. Are you aware that Mr. Junio taped at least 2 of those meetings?
I was aware of some type of. Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
how were you? You were aware at the time he was taping it or recording it?
Yes, but I didn't know what method he was using.
How did you know he was recording it?
He did make. I know prior to the meeting he was getting himself ready to tape, record, or whatever he does the meeting.
Okay. And he was doing that, do you know why he was preparing to record the meeting?
I guess to establish minutes.
Right. And did you ever have discussions with him about the need to record the negotiation minutes? Meetings, excuse me?
Kind of briefly, but I depended on them as a procuring agency to establish that.
So I understand that that's not your job. Yeah. You're DOE. You're supposed to give them design parameters and specs and collateral equipment. I understand that's your role.
Yes.
But and so I'm just simply asking, let's talk about these conversations you had. So you had more than one conversation with them about taping the negotiation meetings?
I believe it was one.
Okay. And whom did you speak to?
Ray Junio.
Okay. And what, do you remember when this conversation might have occurred?
No.
In the beginning?
It had to be in the beginning.
All right. And who, you instigated the conversation, or is it just something that came up?
It's just something that came up.
What'd you tell me?
Are you going to be documenting, taking notes and minutes of our meetings?
Okay, and did you specifically talk about taping it?
No.
All right.
He chose whatever method he chose.
All right. When you've done procurements for DOE, did you tape these meetings?
No.
How does the record keeping maintain for your procurement?
We had somebody take minutes.
I see. So, are you aware of any minutes being prepared by anyone at DPW for the negotiation?
No, I wasn't aware.
So usually what happens after you have a meeting is the minutes get circulated and everybody comments and it gets finalized and then maybe reviewed at the next meeting, right? Has that ever happened at any of the negotiation meetings?
I don't recall.
All right. How did, after you told Mr. Junio, in this discussion about, how did, I think your testimony, please correct me if I'm wrong, about the need to take minutes and record keeping, how did he respond?
Positively. He so yes.
Okay. But then it sounds like it just didn't happen, right? Either did or didn't.
Yeah, I don't know if his device was on. I don't know.
Did minutes actually get circulated?
Not to me. Okay. I don't know to the committee.
But how about to Mr. Fernandez?
I don't know.
Okay, and if Mr. Fernandez received it, would he have shared it with you?
He would have.
Okay. And he didn't share anything with you?
No.
Right. Do you recall how many of these negotiations, meetings you might have had over from January through, I think, the through the time when the notice of intention order was issued? And I can give you a date if you like. May 13, 2016.
I would say probably about 3 to 4.
Face meetings, face to face.
Yes.
And this was the negotiation team.
Yes.
Did Geef participate or meet with any of the negotiation team members on these face to face meetings?
Yes.
Would you say all of them or most of them, if you can?
Most of them. No.
Did you have other meetings with negotiation team members, for instance, by conference calls or maybe through some kind of video?
No.
All right. Were there meetings, communications with Geef during negotiation period? When I say negotiation period, I'm talking about early January 2016 to May 13, 2015.
No, I, me personally, no, I don't recall.
You don't recall having any direct communication with them?
No.
Okay. Who did they contact with, or their coordinator through Mr. Kalanayan?
Yes.
And he is, because he's a single point of contact?
Yes.
And how would Mr. Kalanayan disseminate that information?
Via email.
Okay. And during this, and you would get copied on it?
I would believe so. In some cases, I would have to get it from the superintendent.
So either you would be copied with this, Mr. Fernandez, or you would get it from him?
Yes.
Over this negotiation period, can you estimate how many email communications you might have had with Geef?
Quite a few. I would say not. Probably about 10.
Okay.
10 to 12. Yeah.
And then you had also communications with the other agencies?
Like?
For instance, DPW? Or
yes, I would always.
There could be separate communications with them, right? Not including the body.
Yeah, but in most cases, I had to copy Public Works because they're the.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry. I meant to say. You had communications with Public Works and GEDA. These are the two other agencies involved, correct?
Yeah, and not much with GEDA.
Okay, but when you did have these communications, let's say by email, Geef, let them assume that Geef wasn't copied on these communications, right?
Correct.
All right, how many of these communications do you think you had, if you had to guess or estimate?
It's quite a high number, yeah.
In the hundreds?
I wouldn't say that much. Maybe less than 100.
Okay.
Yeah.
Over 50?
Yeah.
Less than 100. Okay. And to your knowledge, was a log of communications ever maintained by DPW?
I don't know.
Have you seen one?
No, I haven't.
All right.
Nor did I ask to see one. It wasn't for me to ask.
I see.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen any email communication?
Could I just ask, Mr. Romero, are you saying now, okay, you don't know if a log of these communications was made or a log wasn't made?
No, I don't know if it was made.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Okay, so let's talk about the negotiations. When did you become aware that DPW had selected GEEF as the most qualified offer?
When, I believe it was early January.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so when you started negotiating with GEEF, what information do you mean the committee, not you personally, right? When the committee started negotiating, what information did the committee review have before them?
Quite honestly, I don't know what they had in front of them. All I know is I was just tasked to assist in the negotiations.
Okay. And at some point, the pricing, the price cost estimates were disclosed, not just of GEEF, but of Cortec and of Prinix, correct?
Correct.
Do you know how that came about?
Are you talking about a particular document, or did it? You're talking about how it was it publicly announced, or?
Oh, I'm not saying it was public. Well, was it publicly announced?
Of course not.
Okay, because you asked, I'd ask.
Yeah, I just wanted. I just wanted to narrow down where your question was
going. The information, the cost estimates for Prinix, Cortec, and GEEF were reviewed by the negotiation team, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Do you know how that information came into the hands of the negotiation team? How was it presented?
To the negotiation team.
Right. So let's talk about the first meeting.
Yeah.
With the negotiation team in January 2016. So when you, was there a discussion about the three contractors' prices? Not three contractors, the three proposers' prices at that initial meeting?
I don't recall any open discussion.
Okay. Then are there any other kind of discussion, other than open discussion, that you're aware of?
Well, there
that
was...
That occurred? Yeah.
In the time frame of January?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. What other communication occurred other than open discussion? Was there secret discussion?
Not.
Okay.
No.
When you say open, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in January, pricing was not discussed.
No.
Was GEEF's pricing discussed?
I don't recall.
Okay. Do you recall what the evaluation committee members were looking at? I'm not evaluation negotiation committee members were looking at in January 2015 when they met, 16 when they met.
They were looking at the, what I can recall is they're looking at the design that was proposed.
The design parameters, Exhibit A?
That plus the actual floor plan design.
Oh, GEEF's floor plan?
Yes.
Anyone else's floor plan?
No.
All right, and anything else you were doing, looking at?
No, it was just directly with GEEF.
You don't recall there being any discussion regarding any proposer's pricing in January?
No.
All right. Let's move to February. Do you recall there was a meeting or a discussion then between the negotiation committee?
No.
Okay, how about March?
No.
April?
No.
No discussions in April?
Not that I'm aware of, as far as the committee.
All right, so I'm just going to show you. So when did the committee, so they met, how many times did they meet in January?
I don't recall.
Once?
No,
at
it's,
least
a,
once.
It's a little more than that.
Twice?
I'd say not more than five in January.
In January?
Yeah.
Okay. And then February, were there any meetings? That you can recall?
Possibly, but I can't recall specifics.
How were these, I guess, meetings set up? Someone would send an invite and say, hey, we're having a meeting, it's on me?
Correct, yes.
All right, and who would be initiating those communications?
Public Works would be initiating.
Okay, how about March? Do you recall there were any meetings?
Yes, they were.
And, yes?
Yes.
How many do you think happened?
With the committee, again, probably not more than five.
I beg your pardon?
Not more than five with the committee.
How about April? I'm sorry, how many in April?
Again, I'm going to say probably not more than five.
Okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm not asking for it exactly. Now, in February 2010, do you recall sending an email to Mr. Fernandez setting forth the negotiating criteria?
Mm-hmm.
And why did you do that?
Well, he was asking for, since he was the chair of the evaluation committee, he wanted some guidance on how to, and steps on how to conduct the negotiations.
Okay. So you basically took bits, parts of the RFP and identify the sections that relate to the negotiations?
Yes.
Did you discuss this with him?
No, I just sent it to him.
Okay. Do you know if you shared this with anyone?
I do not know.
Okay.
Ms. Tang, we're going to have to break for the day. It's past 3:30. But.
No, it's not. It's 3:19.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a little fast.
Mine is slow
downstairs. Five more minutes. But generally speaking, how much longer do you have with Mr. Romero? How far are you in your examination? Because
I think
you did state it would
about
an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And
okay, and he's been really great, and not he's just been making it very easy, just answering questions. I'm just.
Are you about 50% through?
I'm more than 50%. I'm probably about 65 to 70.
65. Okay.
Yeah. He's working. He's testifying at a good pace. So
all right.
This
Do you think that we can finish him tomorrow morning?
Yes. If I could have 40 minutes.
45,
40.
But Mr. Inman is the priority. Witness for tomorrow. We might have to take Mr. Inman out of order.
I'm fine with that.
And
that's what we agreed to.
We've already instructed Mr. Fernandez to come, but I'll excuse you till 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Romero. And we'll pick it up from there. And I think Mr. Aggie, there's still that one minor inquiry about is that a typo or not in terms of GD?
I'll ask my clients.
That's fine. And that said, now tomorrow we will start at 9 a.m. We're going to be on the 6th floor DISID conference room. And so we'll be downstairs. And so all the parties have to take their stuff, okay, tonight because we're not going to be here tomorrow.
We have to reassemble.
Yeah, we'll have to reassemble. Any other matters we need to pick up for closing soon? Yes, Mr. Ray.
Just logistical matter on the testimony, anticipate testimony in our case in chief of Mr. Easter when
yes.
He does testimony by FaceTime. So I talked to Ms. Tang,
yep.
And we worked it out, and I think we're fine. She just wanted to make sure that he has copies of the exhibits, so he's going to have all copies of the exhibits when he's there.
Actually, you know, if we could just test the connection, let's make sure it's. Do we know if it's going to work?
Yes, I tested with him already.
Okay, well, are we going to be up here or down?
It depends when.
We'll cross that bridge, but if you need to test the equipment, see if it actually works, yeah, you could arrange that with the OPA staff.
They don't have internet in the.
Yeah, but there's no internet downstairs.
Yeah.
They don't have internet. We have internet here. We have Wi-Fi, but they don't.
Either way.
So you have your own independent Wi-Fi, Ms. Reagan?
Yeah.
All right, so that's good news. And Mr. Keeler?
Just the availability of the tapes.
Okay, we've got the cassette recorder. And the, with that, well, here's what we're going to do, is we're going to try
to. We will copy it tonight.
Transcribe the cassette, not transcribe, but play the cassette so that it records on a CD. And that's what we're hoping to achieve.
Somebody can, I've actually had to do that.
It's possible.
There is somebody who does it for us. It's called Star Something.
No, but I think the.
Or do you do it?
I think the OPA staff.
Can do it? Yeah.
They'll try to do it, and we'll see where they get.
And hopefully we will try to have it ready by tomorrow, sometime tomorrow, right?
Well, he said we can give him tape.
One at a time.
Oh,
one at a time. Okay.
Yeah, so we'll try our best.
Because we have to literally play the whole thing and record it.
Okay.
All right, and Mr. Romero, I'm going to order you not to discuss your testimony once again with any of the parties or any third parties until the end of these proceedings. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're excused till 2 o'clock tomorrow. We'll be downstairs on the 6th floor. And,
may I ask what the schedule is for tomorrow? How long do you think you will be going?
It was Mr.
Fernandez.
Mr. Fernandez takes the stand, he states that he has a very important 5:30 meeting. So about 5 is what I'm anticipating. All right. Might be a little different if he doesn't take the stand at all. We just have Mr. Inman, but we'll see how far we get. Hopefully, I'm anticipating all witnesses will be done by 3.
I'm crossing my fingers, but I said.
And we have it through Monday, correct? But we don't know on. What's the plan for? Because we have another hearing Tuesday afternoon.
Okay. Well, let's see how far we get tomorrow, and then we'll have a better picture. But it looks like probably Monday as well.
Monday, but I was hoping to finish entirely by Monday.
Okay. Well, we'll. I guess we'll find out how far we get in this room. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
We're off the record at 3:25 p.m.